Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
In this audiocast number 8, I am going to interview a Roman escort. Yup, you heard me right, so just sit back and...
1, 2, 3,
listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake. Father Leo.
And now that I've got your attention, I just have to say, get your mind out of the gutter. When you heard me say a Roman escort, what were you people thinking? Were you thinking that I, a priest, was going to interview a prostitute? Well, yes, I will, but not in this show. So let me explain with this little appetizer. A Roman escort is basically a tour guide. There are professionals who escort pilgrims along the way. They're people who accompany you. And it's kind of interesting that most people, when they hear escort, they automatically think of sex. But in my case, I'm actually thinking of faith. I'm thinking of culture. And this escort, this tour guide, this tour manager, Fulvio, is going to be sharing with us and with me an experience of Rome. And why? Because Rome is one of the most visited cities in the world. And you know that I travel there pretty regularly, leading groups and leading even individuals along the way so that they can experience a little bit more about what the phrase means, all roads lead to Rome. And also to figure out, especially in my carry-out order, what I learned from Fulvio about the Roman culture and how that influences my Roman Catholic faith, but also hear about this idea of secularism, because Fulvio, you'll hear about it in the Deep Dish discussion, he considers himself Catholic, but as far as practicing it, you know, one would question that, but more importantly, he gives me an experience of Rome that I never really would get unless I had an escort. And that's what we're going to be doing when we come back for a more deep dish discussion here on Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. If you are enjoying these episodes so far, guess what? You just have to wait because we have more exciting, unique guests, more opportunities to learn about life and to experience it through these interviews. And so we encourage you, if you've enjoyed these, please consider supporting our show with $10 a month on a recurring basis. You will get access to more premium level sponsorship content, which means even deeper experiences of faith, of friendship, and food that nourishes your soul. To be a sponsor, all you have to do is go to fatherleofeeds.com/listen. Welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo. I am sitting here with a good friend named Fulvio. Fulvio, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Father. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you want to listen to it.
Exactly.
Because it's kind of morning here now, and I'm just setting it up for you. It is winter time, and we are in a little back alley cafe. Tell us about this place that you took me to, Fulvio.
This is called Piazza Margana. For me, it's one of the nicest square of Rome, little tiny place, just a few steps away from the most chaotic square of Rome, you know, the central square of the city, Venice Square. But suddenly, you know, you find yourself in a peaceful, quiet area in between the ghetto and the center of the city of Rome.
Okay, you said the word ghetto, and that challenges people because, see, for a lot of American listeners, ghetto means a poor place, a place where, you know, you send all of the people who, you know, who need government assistance, and it's dangerous sometimes in a ghetto. What are you talking about?
This is quite interesting because the word ghetto that we still use nowadays, in the way actually just mentioned, it comes from an Italian word, actually from a Venetian slang from the city of Venice. When centuries ago, basically, because of the decision of a pope, Jewish people were forced to live and stay in a specific district of the city of Venice, who was already named the ghetto. The ghetto was the place where all the foundries were, you know, where they melt
iron. So the word ghetto means what?
Foundries.
Foundries. So what is there? Was there a verb, gettare? What is it?
Actually, it's a Venetian slang.
It's a Venetian slang?
Yes.
Wow. See, because when you're here in Rome, this is literally one of the most international cities. There's a phrase that says, all roads lead to Rome, which is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about Rome. So we're sitting in a little cafe in a restaurant called Vinando.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of verbed it. Vino is wine. Vinando is whining, and that's not complaining, people. That's drinking good wine because we know about the wine. We're going to talk about that. So let me just set it up for you. The sun is just coming out. They're casting a little bit of light on this beautiful building that has some flowers that are hanging over some of the windows. And this is actually a quiet spot, even though we're right next to a major tourist attraction.
Right.
How did you find this place as we kind of go a little bit more into learning about what it means to be a Roman? How did you find this place?
Well, basically because one of my best friends owns the restaurant where we're sitting at right now.
So we can sit here for free.
Yes,
this is
exactly
a good thing. So just a little tip for anyone who's traveling to Rome. If you go to a coffee bar, tell us a little bit about the bar culture.
Okay, well, what we call a bar is what you guys call a coffee place.
Yep.
Okay, so the word bar stands for places where you can get mainly coffee and breakfast, sometimes also lunch. It depends. You know, depends usually on the owner, you know, which kind of business you want to run. You can offer many things, a big variety of things, but basically is a coffee place. It's, you know, the culture of coffee in Italy is different than the U.S.
Okay.
First of all, the quantity of coffee you get, you know, when you ask for it. So basically, if you guys come to Italy and you want to ask for coffee, make sure that you tell them what you actually want, because coffee for us is what you call espresso, just espresso. So a little tiny quantity of coffee served in a small cup. So don't get upset, okay? That's just part of our culture, okay?
Well, that's part of American culture, to get upset about their coffee.
So if you want a long black coffee, you can easily ask for American coffee. Everybody knows what you mean.
And how do you ask for that?
Caffè Americano.
You can't get any simpler than that. Caffè Americano. Okay, and that's just basically going to be a shot of espresso with just added hot water, though, right?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, so.
Yes. The other main difference is that you may not be able to find a cup to go in some of the cafeteria here in Italy.
Yep.
It's just not part of our culture.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting used to it because many tourists mainly, keep asking for coffee to go. So, you know, the owners of the cafeteria, they're getting used to it, and they're actually buying, you know, those cups that were not possible to find anywhere until a few years ago.
Like to-go cups.
To-go cups,
so
yes.
So tell me, why do you think that, like, fast food, it's still not a big part of the Roman culture. What's going on there? Why can't they just simply get a to-go cup? What's the problem?
I don't know. I mean, it comes from years of tradition that a coffee is also a situation where you stay with somebody else, talk. You know, it's a little break, you know, from your job, from your business, from anything, okay? For instance, here in Italy, if 2-3 people show up in a cafeteria and ask for coffee, just one of them is the one paying. Also because it's a ridiculous cost. You know, you pay 90 cents, a euro for the espresso. And this is what most of the people ask for.
Okay, so just, you know, as he was talking, there was some guy literally with a cart of fresh vegetables. We had some potatoes.
Right.
You had some arugula. You had some persimola, which is parsley. I mean, and this
artichokes.
Artichokes are in there. And so they're literally dropping by and the whole culture of food. I want you to just explain this, and here's why. I know Fulvio as, you heard me say it at the intro, an escort.
Don't get it wrong, though.
Don't get it wrong. Escort means something else. In Italy, it's a tour manager, someone who leads a lot of tours. And so he knows the culture, not just because you're a Roman, you're an Italian, but because you have some connections to food. Tell us about your food connections, then we're going to go a little bit more about why Italy's culture and cuisine do not have to-go cups. Tell us, why do you know food?
I know food because basically growing up in Italy, that helps a lot to know about food.
So like everyone in Italy is a food expert.
No, everyone. I realize that not everyone is, but the ones like me who were lucky, at least, you know, to grow up in a family where everybody was cooking. You know, you actually experience your grandma preparing homemade pasta every single day.
Every day.
Okay. We used to grow our own veggies, you know, have a little farm probably also, you know, most of the people, especially because I come from a village, right? Not from a big city. So everybody has a few animals around that you grow and then you process the meats. And so you do everything from the beginning to the end. So you appreciate more the food and then you know more about every single ingredients or every single recipe.
Okay. And by the way, folks, you just heard a little motorino. A little motorino is a kind of like a little motorbike. And they're all over the place, Rome, because there's so much traffic that one of the easiest ways to get around is on these little motorinos. Consider it basically like a scooter. We've all seen them now in America. They're growing very popular these days, a Vespa, but they're just everywhere. So if you hear a little bit of that, it's because we're sitting outside of a beautiful cafe talking to Fulvio, telling us that if you basically grow up in a culture of food, you know your food, but you also have some professional experiences.
I did study to become a pastry chef.
Okay, so you've got pastry skills under your belt.
I do, but again, it comes from the passion I already had before because where I grew up and the environment and everything else.
You also speak English pretty well, too. Why do you speak English?
I did move to Australia by myself.
So can you all hear it? Y'all can hear the accent in there, too.
Sometimes I got my Australian accent coming out.
It's like, buongiorno, mate.
Right.
So, and when you were in Australia, you did some work as a barista, which is someone who does coffee.
Yes, and I did that to learn, you know, how they want their own coffee.
Yeah.
For instance, one really strange aspect of that for me was that people want their cappuccino very, very hot. They couldn't drink it. They just want to have their own cappuccino on the table while they were reading newspaper and let it cool down by itself. You know, for me it was crazy, you know, because here in Italy, we ask for a cappuccino that needs to be, you know, the right temperature that you can drink it without, you know.
Immediately.
That's right. And so I didn't expect people that want it so hot, you know, like, you know, smoke, you know, coming out just because they want it to have it on the table while they read the newspaper and they can sip it a little bit at a time.
So let's shift gears and I want to talk about your work as a tour manager and then obviously after the break we're going to talk about Fulvio personally as escort. This is how we roll on Shoot the Shiitake. But as far as your work as a tour manager, you lead groups from all over the world, right?
Oh, yes. Technically, I can do that, you know, everywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world.
Right.
That's crazy. And so when people come to Italy, when they come to Rome, when they come to your homeland, what are some of the things that you want to make sure they leave this country knowing and experiencing, knowing that every itinerary is different?
I appreciate when people have enough time to absorb a little bit of the culture and not just to come here to, you know, mark their list of places where they have to go and things that they have to see because, you know.
By the way, folks, that was just a window closing and not the M word. The M word is, we can't even say it out loud here, but we'll talk about the M word later. No, mafia. You know, I mean, it's like a lot of times people think that. That was just a window closing because we are sitting outside just talking to Fulvio and you're saying that you want people to experience the culture.
Right.
What about the culture? If you could kind of summarize in like a few fingers or a...
Right. How we live our daily life, you know, because every country is different, every culture is different. And, you know, sometimes when people travel, they expect that everything that they experience so far home must be the same the place where they go.
Oh, sure.
If you are in a rush and you don't have time to understand the differences, then you won't get it. And then you may not be happy, you know, the service and this and that, because you are expecting that everything has to be like it is at home.
Yeah.
While if you have time to spend in a place, you understand the difference, and then you may appreciate that much, much better.
So what about the culture takes a little bit of time? Obviously, the coffee is just a little coffee break, a little cafe, but it's also a socializing experience where people just kind of catch up and meet up.
Absolutely. For instance, in my village, I always go to the same coffee place because I know that I will meet somebody I know, and I will talk to somebody.
And how much time do you spend in a coffee bar? Just what does a Roman do?
There's not a plan.
So, like, you can hear my American mentality. How much time do you need to spend in a coffee bar?
Right. Yeah. So, if I go there, I find people that I haven't seen in a while, or I may realize that, oh, I need the guy because I need to ask him, you know, a suggestion about this and that. I may spend easily half an hour in
Holy cow. So this is totally a casual experience. So one of the things, folks, about the Italian culture is that it is food-centric, that it's all about socializing. What other things do people need to know about Italy and Rome? Because first of all, Italy was at one point many separate countries.
Yes.
And then it only became a unified country when?
At the end of the 1800s. Actually, Rome, when Italy was unified, didn't become part of Italy at the very beginning. Rome was still separated because owned by the Pope.
Okay. There you go.
You know,
my boss.
Who was, right? The big man. You know, the Pope officially is a king. Nowadays, not behaving as a king anymore, but he used to. And Rome was a separate country.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to talk about religion and Rome and you, Fulvio, and your experience of it when we come back. But I just still want to hear just this Roman culture because I want to give people a chance if they've never been on a pilgrimage before, if they've never been, especially with me, on what I call. Well, let me just ask you, because Fulvio and I have worked together on a few trips. Do you experience any differences in the way I approach pilgrimages?
Absolutely.
Tell me about that. And by the way, I'm not asking for compliments. I'm asking for critique.
I'll be completely honest.
Please do.
What I realize is that people learn a lot more when they have somebody, like you in this case, who does his job not just bringing a group here and leave it in the hand of the local guide or the local manager, but doing all the connection, giving the spiritual information, you know, about the pilgrimages itself, you know, because then when you deal with a local guide, you may get mainly historical information.
Yeah.
You don't go deep in the religious aspects of it. And then since you know them, and since you come from the place where those people come from, you can link the similarity or you can explain better the differences of the culture also. So it's we need a leader that comes with a group like you to complete the experience.
And I need someone like a professional escort. That just makes me laugh so much. I have no idea why. But if you take a look at the Facebook page and the link, I'm going to have a picture of Fulvio and myself up there so you can see what I'm talking about. It's funny. It's just funny. Because Fulvio is almost the most typical-ish Italian you could ever – it's hard to explain, but if you think of an Italian person, Fulvio fits the bill very well. And when you are leading people, obviously a lot of the things that you show them are churches, the history, and then, you know, some of the major monuments that you have here. But is there something else that you, if you could take the most perfect group of pilgrims or a perfect group of tourists and you say, like, here's real Rome, where would you take them?
Wow. You know, the thing is, Rome is definitely a big touristic attraction.
It is.
So it's hard to find a secret spot. You know, it's not secret anymore, definitely. I will definitely give people the possibility to experience Rome at nighttime, in the evening, when most of the people are gone, most of the visitors for the day are gone, and lead them on a walking tour through nice square like the one where we're sitting out right now, that are a little bit out of the regular itinerary.
Yeah, definitely out of the way.
Yes, sometimes people don't understand. I mean, they come here and they have their own bucket list. You cannot avoid certain places in Rome, which are amazing, beautiful, okay, because they are on the bucket list. But believe me, guys, there are hundreds of beautiful churches and squares that are not on the itinerary,
absolutely,
the major tour and on the major agencies, that are absolutely worth it to be seen, visited, explained by us, and you will be amazed how much, you know, Rome has to offer.
What are some of your favorite spots, though, that are kind of out of the way so that people can try to find it?
We are definitely one of them. The Ghetto, which is next door, is one of my favorite places. Also, the food aspect. You know, the most important tradition of Rome about food are related to the Ghetto. because the community, the Jewish community of Rome, is the oldest community.
Yeah, and then the ghetto is very close to Campo dei Fiori.
It is.
And Campo dei Fiori is, tell the people about Campo dei Fiori.
Campo dei Fiori is a little tiny square where there is the oldest, probably yes, the oldest food market that takes place in Rome every morning. It is definitely affected by the tourists as well, because now a lot of tourists are going there, so even at the market they're not selling anymore just the veggies that were sold for the locals, but they're selling also souvenirs, of
sure.
course.
So when you take people on these tours, and let's just get a little honest here, what's your favorite parts about doing this kind of work, and what's the most annoying, frustrating things that you've experienced as a professional tour manager?
We kind of mentioned that already, because I'm really excited where I can show you
yep.
the most real, truly aspect of our culture.
Oh, hospitality is a big deal for Italians.
It is. Everywhere.
Everywhere. Okay.
So Italians are very happy when they can accommodate
yep.
you know, tourists or friends coming from different areas of Italy.
What's the frustrating parts then? Like, because you've been on some doozies. None of my trips, thank God.
Right. You know, I'm actually, what I hate the most is probably when we cannot give the best, but not because of me, but because sometimes Italy, you know, it works in a crazy way, right?
Sure.
There are, how can I say that? You know, there are places like the Colosseum, for instance, or the sure. Vatican Museum, that give great expectation to everyone, but yeah. then when you come here, you may realize they are on strike, the door is closed, the sure. line is, you know, even if you have a reservation, they don't let you in, and crazy,
that's so true.
Crazy aspects
well, I'll
like
be honest
that.
With you, when I first came to Rome, as a seminarian years ago, I hated it. I just didn't want to be here. But then I had a chance to just leave the touristical areas and just explore on my own and see the back streets and things of that nature. And you realize that it was beautiful, even if it's old.
Right.
And you got to get out. There's a phrase, do as the Romans do. So if you could just kind of highlight, what are some of the things that people need to do? Because you're right, there is a bucket list when they come to Italy.
Yes.
What are some of the things that you got to do as a Roman?
You should definitely visit the underground part of the city.
The underground.
The
yeah.
underground part
it's
of the city.
It's called the scavi, or the excavation, right?
Yes, but because there are also churches like San Clemente nearby the Colosseum,
sure.
you know, that allowed you to go 2-3 levels underneath the city.
Like what year are we talking about?
Yeah, we're talking from the 1st, 2nd century after Christ until nowadays.
Yeah, so pretty old, folks.
Pretty old.
So they need to go underground.
Absolutely.
What else do they need to do?
They need to, again, visit some of those churches that are not, again,
on
major
list,
ones.
Yeah.
You can enter in a church. I mean, in Rome, you can enter for free.
How many churches
church.
In Rome? About?
Inside, within the city walls, about 400 churches.
Okay, just only 400. You can do that in a couple days.
I mean, you can see paintings of Raphael
yeah.
you know, in Rome for free.
Yeah.
For free.
Exactly.
You just enter for free in a church.
And they're just sticking, and they're just in a little side chapel. That's yes. what cracks me up.
Yes.
Okay, and so they've got to see some churches that are off the beaten path and some of the historical things off the beaten path. What else do they kind of need to do?
Hey.
Oh, and obviously, folks, that was another motorino.
Definitely, you guys need to come with no rush. Again, this is probably the major advice I have for everybody when you come to Italy, not just Rome. I mean, I'm talking
sure.
about Italy, generally speaking. You need to come to with no rush and take some time for yourself.
Okay.
Take some time for yourself walking around, because Rome is an open sky museum. You are not charged to see most of the major attraction of Rome. I mean, you
That's
walk
right.
through the Spanish Steps and the Trevi Fountain, the Pantheon, and churches and everywhere for free.
And is there a dish that you think that people should at
Ooh,
least
absolutely.
Try?
So absolutely.
So name some of these things so that people can
okay.
kind of...
you know that pasta is a big thing in
absolutely.
Italy, right? And pasta, again, you know, you can get pasta different shapes with different kind of sauce.
Uh-huh.
Some of the most typical dishes here in Rome is amatriciana and
okay.
carbonara.
Okay.
Okay, those are two of the most famous kind of pasta we prepare in Rome.
That's right.
They come from, like most of the dishes, you know, poor tradition.
That's
okay,
right.
So very simple dishes, but again, they need to be done in a proper way. And by the way, expect in a proper Italian restaurant, pasta cooked al dente.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so not overcooked, okay? A little bit, you know, how would you say that?
It's got some chew to it.
Yes.
It's, you know, slightly chewy. You can definitely, it's not going to be mashed potatoes, folks, okay? Just so that you know. No mashed potato pasta. I would recommend cooking your pasta and going like maybe 1 or 2 minutes under the recommended time, because then the way the Italians do it, they put their pasta in the sauce.
We finish the cooking process of the pasta in the saucepan with the sauce.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that, this talk makes me so hungry. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little bit of break. We're learning a little bit about Fulvio's professional work as someone offering hospitality to all these pilgrims. But here's what I really want to do too, is one of my biggest things as a seminarian, I would drive through the countryside. I just kind of wanted to go into an Italian person's home. This sounds creepy. I realize that. I just wanted to see what their life was like. So when we come back, we're going to hear about Fulvio, not as a professional, but as a person, like who you are in this culture and in this city, in this country. So more Shoot the Shiitake when we return.
This episode is brought to you by Select International Tours, where we share your faith. They basically make people's pilgrimage dreams happen in reality, and they do it with such style, with such finesse, listening to the needs of every client and every host. So if you're interested in leading a pilgrimage as a host or attending a pilgrimage as a pilgrim, including some of mine, all you've got to do is go to selectinternationaltours.com or call 800-842-4842. Again, that's selectinternationaltours.com or call 800-842-4842 today.
We are back to Shoot the Shiitake with another deep dish discussion with Fulvio. Welcome back, Fulvio.
Thank you, Father Leo.
And we are actually walking throughout the city, and we just popped by the Piazza di San Pietro, the Basilica of St. Peter, where literally there are people waiting. I don't know, how many hours do you think they're going to wait to get in here?
Easily an hour.
Okay.
Easily an hour.
And so what you got to do, folks, is come with me, because we're never going to wait in line to go into the church so that we can pray, because we go there pretty early in the morning. And Fulvio leads us sometimes into the church, and as we kind of talk about our experience in Rome, I would love to, because we're in the middle of St. Peter's. Uh-huh. What's the faith of a typical Roman in a modern age?
Romans are all very strictly related to the faith, to the Christian religion. Also because we grew up with this important figure, you know, of the Pope who's next door. He's next door.
Yeah.
Right? So everybody has so much respect of the figure of the Pope, especially now that they recognize the figure of the Pope as a down-earth, you know, person.
Yeah, sure.
And that definitely helps a lot.
I mean,
you know,
it's definitely part of the culture, but it's a pretty secular culture too, isn't it?
It is a secular culture that is changing, probably, if you talk about younger generation. I don't know how many young kids are actually going to church Sunday, you know, to attend Mass. But we definitely, all of us, respect the major, you know, festivity.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, you get a day off, number one. You get a day off.
But it looks like that suddenly, you know, during Christmas, for instance, or Easter, everybody turned out to be very devoted, even if they don't show this devotion during the rest of the year.
That's a very interesting point. Okay, and so we're just going to get personal. We talked about your profession. One of the things that I enjoy about you is that you give us the experiences, obviously, of Rome, and then you kind of give me the microphone, because I'm a priest. I love a microphone, right? And I'm Filipino, so I love me some karaoke. But the idea of giving me the microphone so I can share with the people some spiritual things, what about you? I mean, you're a professional tour manager, you go into these churches, you're not going to confession or anything, but like, what's your background? I mean, were you ever baptized Catholic? Not that this even matters, but you go to these places, and what does it do for you?
Well, I was definitely, you know, raised Catholic. I didn't, like, for a while I wasn't, let's say, when I was done with all the sacraments. And
yeah.
when I started to do my job, I wasn't really going to church often or almost not at all. Now it's different. You know?
It's typical, though, for a lot of Italians to not go to church, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Why
absolutely.
Is that? I mean, my gosh, there's a church. You can't, like, throw a stone and not hit a church. What would you think would be the reason why a lot of modern Romans don't go to Roman Catholic churches?
Well, you should know that at school, for instance, we have a catechism.
Yeah.
Okay, so religion is definitely part of our culture. Sometimes kids feel is kind of imposed to them.
Yeah,
because
sure.
when you have it at school, looks like became like mathematics, became like
sure.
Latin, you know, something that you have to do it even if you're not really into doing it. So probably a lot of kids considering like something they are forced to do instead of a choice.
So in other words, the Romans are just like every other kid. Like, if you were getting forced into it, then you're not going to want to do it.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty much.
And so now, where again, I'm not asking for anything you don't want to share, but, like, you're leading all these people on these religious experiences. Would you feel, and not that you would, but do you feel like, oh, I'm going to take you to this church and do what you do? Or is it
a part of who
you are?
I really... That's different. That's different because those people that are I'm taking, you know, to churches to celebrate Mass or just to visit the church, they are passionate in doing it, okay, in visiting the church, and they all get excited, you know, when they have the chance to celebrate Mass in altar, where, you know, who knows who celebrate Mass
sure.
before them, you know, over there, churches who have centuries of history, churches that are impressive, beautiful, with a lot of history behind, and I'm so, I mean, I get excited when I see them excited, you know, in doing that, so I actually... I'm not taking part of the ceremony itself, but also because I may be busy in doing something else. Sometimes for me, you know, those 20 minutes off, half an hour off from the group where I can do email, phone calls, text, whatever, helps me a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm always there. I'm always there because...
of course you are. I mean, I get that part too. And so the last thing I think anybody wants to feel is like a hypocrite. You know, like,
absolutely,
I'm taken
no.
to this place, but I don't feel it. Because let me tell you, I've been on enough pilgrimages with other people where, like, some of the local guides, that is, they don't care anything about the Catholic faith. And one of the reasons why Rome is because it's Catholic. Right? I mean, is that disputable?
No, we have our own relationship, you know,
yes.
with the Catholic religion.
And tell me about that relationship.
Well, again, you know, we may consider going to church and being Catholic like two different things.
Okay.
Okay, so looks like that it may be wrong. The people are, you know, each one is Catholic his own way
sure.
here in Italy. Okay.
Really? Okay. So
and it's always fine. I mean,
sure.
if you respect the sacraments and everything, then you're okay.
Then you're okay. Okay. You know, there is, you mentioned that in their own way. One of the things that you have to deal with here in this country is just the government and the bureaucracy. I kind of made a brief reference to it about the M word, the mafia. I just want to kind of know what exactly is the scoop here. Can you tell me as much as you can, knowing that at one point it was pretty much a localized southern Italian, Sicilian, Napolitano, Naples kind of thing. But there is a big agency here, Contra Mafios, against the mafias here. Tell me about that.
Well, mafia is a general term now. Definitely, you know, the first thing you may think about is the criminal organization that comes from Sicily.
Yep.
Okay, eradicated in Sicily. But everywhere in Italy, there is a criminal organization that can be the same.
What do they
the one
do?
In South. They basically want to control as many business as they can. And they realize that politicians, I mean, if they are able to control politicians, then...
You mean that politicians are corrupt in Italy?
No way.
Tell me, I mean, because this is like, how many governments has there been here in Italy, in Rome in general? Like, how many governments? Like, I can tell you how many presidents there have been in the past.
Ooh.
Like, would you have something similar to that?
No, I mean, I don't know the exact number at all, no. But definitely no. Try to corrupt a politician
uh-huh.
on changing and choosing the men that will be elected, it's a different way to behave, you know?
I mean,
the criminal organization is becoming smarter and smarter.
Yeah.
Okay, in the past they said, they thought, okay, I'm going to pay this politician to do what I want. Nowadays they choose the guy first and then make it possible for him to be elected.
Yeah. By the way, folks, we are just walking through the city of Rome, leaving the St. Peter's area. And as you can hear with all of the car noise, we are at a car stop. Well, we're at a parking. What am I, this called? A crosswalk. Holy cow, I can't even speak English. And the way they cross streets in Italy are very different. If you come to a place where there is an actual traffic light, where they say, you know, red light and green light, you got to follow that. But if not, what do you tell the people if they are at a crosswalk and there is no real signal? What do you tell them, Fulvio?
There is only one way to cross the street in Rome.
Keep an eye contact
with the drivers.
Sure.
Show them no fear and do it.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of have to look them in the eye. You have to always walk at a cross walk, which is basically the zebra stripes, and you got to give them a look, letting them know that you are ready to walk on that street. And they got to stop for you, right?
Yes. If there is no traffic light and just the cross stripes, do it and don't wait for them to let you cross, because you may be waiting for a long, long time.
Yeah, and you know, that whole idea of just, there are laws here in Rome and in Italy, but they're kind of flexible, aren't they?
Yes.
Like, how do you survive? I mean, how does this country stay in function for so long when they say that traffic lights are sometimes seen as suggestions or decorations? How do you live in this?
I know. It sounds crazy. But no, we try to respect the traffic light, of course.
Sure.
Especially when driving a car. But, you know, there are situations where we consider traffic light placed in certain intersection or places where it makes no sense. Just slow the traffic down.
Sure.
So, come on, you know.
Yeah, it's like... So there is really that flexibility.
Flexibility.
You know, we were talking as we were walking and talking here in the streets of Rome. When they say do as the Romans do, what exactly comes to your mind being, you know, an Italian, being a Roman? When you have people come and you try to encourage them, do as the Romans do.
Okay.
What would be some of the cultural lifestyle things that are very Roman?
Very Roman. Again, you know. Food, having like coffee the way we do, going for dinner at the time we used to go for dinner, which is not earlier than 8:30 p.m.
So how many meals do you all take here?
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Okay, but you also have like these little snack times in between?
Yes, why not? Why not?
What time is breakfast generally?
For me?
Well,
can be 5 a.m.
No, yeah, of course.
Most of the Italians, let's say about 7:30.
Okay, so just normal time.
You find them all in a cafeteria later on.
And what's for breakfast generally? It's not bacon and eggs. It's not Irish.
No. It's a cappuccino, let's say, and croissant.
Okay. And then for lunch, croissant. Also
for
known
lunch,
as pranzo.
Pasta.
Pasta.
And a second course.
Okay.
It can be some veggies or meat or fish.
And that's all at lunchtime.
Yes. Dinner can be a little heavier.
Heavier?
Yes.
So what time is dinner?
Dinner is around 8:30. But then it depends, because in summertime, can be easily after 9.
Oh my gosh. So this would be super late for a lot of, you know, Western American culture. Now, when they come here and they kind of meet some of the local Italian... Let's do some characterizations of Italian men and Italian women.
Okay.
What would be some of the typical characteristics of Italian males? For ladies, pay attention.
Well, both males and females are really passionate about fashion.
Fashion.
Even if people say, no, I don't really care much. No,
uh-huh.
Not true. Not
they
true.
Do care.
They do care.
And that's
everybody
called bella
does.
Figura.
Bella figura. So they're trying to do bella figura, so to look good.
Yep.
And what makes a big difference about fashion here in Italy are details.
Details.
So you want to combine your belts with your shoes. And
are you kidding me? I mean, so
socks?
If I take a look at you right now, you've got like a greenish jacket, blue jeans. Hey, I'm kind of impressed. I've kind of got the same kind of colored shoe. They're gray and they're
it's
just,
true.
Yeah, they're kind of cool. So I guess what I'm doing, the bella figura as we speak here. You know,
this morning, for instance, when I had to decide which kind of belt I had to wear, I decided
so
according
basically
to the shoes I was wearing.
Oh, so. God. So you're basically a metrosexual. This what we would call you.
Okay, yes. We all are. Probably.
Yeah, well, not everybody. I wear black most of the time, so it's pretty easy for me. Now, one of the things I love about Rome in particular, in a lot of these big cities, that they have these little side streets. Yep. Now, it's kind of scary for some people to walk into a side street. Are they safe here?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Rome, Italy, generally speaking, is not a dangerous place where to be, not even by yourself at night.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the only problem, honestly, when I have to warn tourists about anything they need to know, in Italy, I'm always concerned about pickpocketing in the busy areas where all the tourists are, especially if people have to move on their own on public transports.
Yeah, okay? Public transport, no doubt.
Otherwise, I mean, you guys are more than safe in a city like Rome, even being on your own at nighttime, walking around, even if you are a girl. Don't worry.
Yeah. And, you know, we're just walking off the beaten path now. We're going behind a couple of buildings in this little archetto, little arc, and you can already hear just how quiet it is. You grew up where?
I grew up in a village, about 45 minutes an hour to the city.
And when you say village, what does that mean?
A town that has around 30,000 inhabitants.
That's, yeah, it's like a little town, that's right.
Little town, yeah.
And so you grew up doing all the typical things that a young man would do. You played sports.
I did, yes.
And now you are a professional escort.
Sport didn't work. Right?
Exactly.
Football didn't work.
Exactly. No, so you are a tour manager. How often are you out giving tours or leading groups?
From March until the end of November, I'm pretty busy. I may also be away from home for a month or two in a row. I may have group like this year, for instance, where we've been to Portugal also with you several times. I remember that I had, like, the tour was over in Venice, and the same day I had to catch a flight to Lisbon. I was not even going home for a night.
And that's kind of tough because you have a baby.
I do have a baby.
Here's another one too. You have a girlfriend, wife, partner. What is she? Who is Jennifer?
Well, here again is normal not to be married.
Really? And by the way, folks, we just cut through a little tunnel. We're walking on the street, and these two little Italian boys are just kicking a soccer ball because that's what they do. I mean, they're just playing soccer on this little, what would look like an alley, but they really, this is where they live. This is just the best part about Italy. When you're in it, you are a part of it. So, Jennifer,
yes.
You're beautiful. How do you call her?
I don't call her wife because we are technically not married.
So what do you call her?
Girlfriend, partner.
What? Mother of my child?
Mother of my child.
Yeah, you know, and this is very interesting because a lot of people would think, I can't believe Father Leo would have someone who's not married lead the tours. How do you feel about that?
Again, and here is not a big deal anymore, so it's not considered wrong. Definitely years ago, like a previous generation will look at you and, you know, strange face. They won't consider that right.
Yeah.
Not being married and living together. Nowadays, it's different. It's just different.
It's just different. Okay, and so tell me the difference. Is it a good thing or a bad thing in your opinion?
In my opinion, it is a good thing. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. I mean, the possibility of sharing the love and, you know, living together.
But you feel committed to her, right?
I am. Absolutely, I am committed, you know. But I don't feel I had to go through any ceremony, you know, to feel committed with my partner.
Okay, so in other words, you kind of feel like you already are on the inside and you don't need an external show on the outside of your kind of marriage.
Yes, okay. But also because, let's say, I could be influenced by the fact that being married was a way to show off by many couples.
Okay.
In the village and say, look, I'm getting married. You know,
give me gifts.
Yes. Let's say I went through all the stages, you know.
Sure.
I did it. I reached the finish line, you know, something like that. And,
sure.
You know, so I'm good now. I didn't want to share the fact that I'm committed with somebody with anybody. I'm just
That's
committed
interesting.
With her.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, listen, in today's world, it is very different, where marriage as an institution certainly hasn't changed, but people's experiences of relationships have. And so, you know, you are kind of already in a type of a marriage.
Sì, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, I mean, because that would be you would be a big jerk if you weren't committed to her on the inside. But it really goes to show commitment begins on the inside, not on the outside, at least
absolutely,
for you.
Absolutely.
All right, so we are walking through a little area, and you can hear the difference. There's not the noise of the traffic. This is just the neighborhoods here.
What a day, by the way.
Oh, it's an absolutely beautiful day. And in Italy, being a Mediterranean country, just has a little bit more warmer days than colder days. And even their colder days are very bearable. Seasonally, tell me about that, and then I'm going to ask some final questions here. So what are the seasons like here? So that people, if they're ever planning to come to Italy, what should they be doing and looking for?
Well, let's say the peak of the season is there are few months a year when it's very, very busy and are May, June, September, October.
May, June, September, October is the busy seasons.
Busiest, because perfect weather.
Yep.
And also because often there are more events, also organized by the Vatican.
Yep.
You know, that time of the year. I definitely love months like March and April, okay, just before the peak of the season.
Yeah.
Because the weather is perfect. It may be, of course, you know, a little colder. And again, not really many chance of having rainy days. So April, for instance, for me, is an amazing month.
So March and April are good too. A little less expensive?
A little less expensive.
Okay.
Absolutely. Talking about, you know, hotel fare and on things
sure.
like that. Less crowded,
okay.
which is important. July and August, very hot and overcrowded also because of the cruises.
You know, so July and August, it's super hot, no doubt.
Super hot, but, you know, it's considered lower season than May, June, and September, October.
Wow, okay.
So again, talking about price.
And know, then what about like November, December, January, like the winter months?
Look at that.
Yeah, so I mean, it's still pretty nice, though. It can be...
You can get rainy days, of course, but
sure.
that's a matter of luck, so you cannot come here and expect sunny days in a week. But today we have a beautiful sunny day while yesterday was raining.
Yeah. So now, Fulvio, what's next for you? You're a young man. You've got a committed girlfriend, mother of your child, a cute little baby named Leo. Not after me, of course, but his dad. But what's next for you?
Well, I want to improve my business somehow, you know, we...
And what would you call your business? As a tour manager?
Tour manager,
okay.
yes. Tour leader, tour manager.
Mm-hmm.
I want to organize some food tour, since that's a passion I have, you know, something that I feel comfortable with.
Which is why we're friends, yep.
So I like to explain, but also, you know, why not, to cook for the people. So that will be for a restricted number of participants in locations that also give that extra little thing to the experience. And so instead of big, long tours, moving, you know, from a city to another, I want to also experience, for me, but also
sure.
let the people experience that part of the culture here in Italy, but also, why not, in other countries.
How long do you think you'll be able to continue being a tour
Sometimes,
manager?
Sometimes I really hope I can do it for a very, very long time, because
uh-huh.
there are several aspects I really love about this job. Sometimes when it's tough, I don't really... feel I want to do it for forever.
Well, in other words, it's like everyone else's life. Some days are good, some
exactly.
days are bad. And you know
exactly.
what, folks? We just literally walked from St. Peter's Basilica, the main piazza San Pietro. It was a 20-minute walk, took some back streets, and look, we are now here at Piazza Navona, one of the most principal piazzas of Rome. And this is what you do when you come on a trip like this. Should people come?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
Anytime.
So guess what? You guys need to come meet up with Fulvio and myself. We'll take you on some food tours. You can ask your own questions to Fulvio the next time you make it out here and shoot the shiitake with him. Listen, we're going to be back with my carry-out order. Fulvio, you have been amazing. Tanti grazie.
Thank you, Father Leo.
Say something in Italian.
Arrivederci.
There you go. See you later. We'll be back right soon.
If you're going to be in the North Olmsted, Ohio area, I will be there also on May 23rd and May 24th for a Feed My Faith event. On the 23rd, I'll be giving some spiritual conferences that will certainly nourish your soul. And on the 24th, get ready for a cooking demonstration where I will be teaching families how to not only celebrate together around the dinner table, but to grow in faith together through the great gift of food. Again, that's in North Olmsted, Ohio. On May 23rd and 24th, just go to shop.fatherleofeeds.com for your tickets. Again, that is shop.fatherleofeeds.com. www.fatherleofeeds.com. And here is my carry-out order from my discussion with Fulvio. But first of all, thank you for your patience with some of the audio difficulties and technicalities. As you heard, I was actually outside doing this interview because it just gives a little bit more of a less studio-ish kind of experience, and it gives you a little bit more of the craziness that's going to be surrounding people in their own day-to-day life. And what I've discovered, you know, in my carryout order and reviewing the deep dish discussion here is that's exactly what Fulvio has to do. Any Roman escort, any escort, again, whether you think it's going to be for a sexual soiree or not, it is someone who accompanies you on an experience. And I think that one of the big problems, at least for many Christians, many Catholics, many just people, especially in America, you know, Americans, we kind of live on a big humongous island called America, and we kind of don't get out of our, you know, comfort zones. And bringing people to a different country is not an easy thing to do. And I take that very seriously as part of a job as a shepherd leading flocks of people to different experiences. Why? Because as a Catholic, the word Catholic, by the way, means universal. And Rome is part of our title. Why? Roman Catholic. Well, because it designates how we as believers are not simply making things up as we go along. We're literally rooting ourselves in a historical reality. Rome was at one point considered the world's center, the center of the world. That's why they say all roads lead to Rome. And so when we call ourselves Roman Catholic, it's kind of interesting knowing that it was at the hands of a Roman official named Pontius Pilate that actually killed Jesus. And it's interesting also that a Roman emperor, who, by the way, they thought they were deities, gods, they're the ones who killed the first apostles. You know, Peter and Paul were killed by Roman emperors. Nero, for example, is a guy who not only burned Rome, he killed our first apostles. And so to claim Rome as a qualifier for our universal slash Catholic faith, it's because we're putting ourselves in history. So having said that, I wanted to introduce Fulvio because he is a guide for me, and he works, not for me personally, but he works with many of my groups. I have at least 4 or 5 particular tour managers that I like to work with. And when we say a tour guide, that doesn't describe what they do, because we have local guides who will actually explain what various things are looking at. He truly is an escort in a professional sense, not in a sexual sense, but in a more tour managing position. So that's kind of what Fulvio's job is. And his job is to accompany us in an experience of what it means to be a Rome. You've heard that phrase, when in Rome. And unfortunately, I've been on many other tours, not with the company that I like to work with, which is Select International, but I've been on a lot of different tours, and you know, there are good ones out there for sure. But the reason why I work with Select is because they really do want to give a true Roman experience. And that's what an escort, a tour manager, has to do. And what are they getting an experience of? Well, if people think that Rome is simply, you know, where the Pope lives, that's true. But there is a world outside of Vatican City State. I mean, you'll see how the church has permeated almost literally every aspect. And what we like to do is take you on these experiences, because that's what's missing in our faith. Again, as I mentioned, I believe sometimes we live on an island. I'm trying to encourage people to see themselves as pilgrims, to see themselves as people who are on a journey. And you've got to get out there and experience the world. And so in this carryout order, I'm reminding myself not to get comfortable. You know, it's very easy as a priest to just consider themselves a parish priest, and therefore they just kind of be only in a parish. And that's good. That's where you're called to be. But you're also called to be a Catholic priest, which means universal. So we have to see ourselves, all of us, as pilgrims. Take a pilgrimage. If you can't go across the pond with me, go to a different Catholic church in your area just to explore what that's like. But make sure that you leave your envelopes at your registered parish. So, pastors, you're welcome. Okay? Just want to make sure we know where the finances are going to go. But if you can't go to a different parish, then how about this? Try being a pilgrim and get a different perspective by going to another Mass time. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, my gosh. Who would ever consider that? Or how about this? Something even more of a travel challenge. How about sitting in a different pew? Holy cow. That'll definitely pull you out of your comfort zone, which is exactly what Fulvio tries to do. He tries to make a different culture more bite-sizable. And he knows that he has to understand his own clients. And so here's what I'm learning from Fulvio, kind of as a side job for me as a Catholic priest, or even perhaps a necessary part of my Catholic priesthood. You know what my job is? To be an escort for people. I've got to accompany them in an experience of faith. And yeah, I got to make it bite-sizable. And yes, like Fulvio, I have to know my audience. I guarantee you that when he works with people from South America, it's a lot different from people in North America. And I know that when he works with different Asian groups, it's going to be a lot different of an approach. If he works with Eastern European groups, I have to know my people. And I have to be willing to understand their comfort zone and how much they can take. An escort also has to know how to present something. And so, you know, I've worked with Fulvio and many other great tour managers in the past. And one of the things that I've learned is that we almost have to get people excited for something. You know, like, how do you get excited for a building? Ugh, pretty boring. Well, you have to make it come to life. You have to be willing to be a storyteller, not just simply a fact provider, but a storyteller. And you do know that Italians are very passionate when they speak. If you could see Fulvio, and by the way, you can, because I'm going to be posting a picture of myself and Fulvio on my Facebook, which is just simply Father Leo Feeds, where you can learn everything about all of my different trips in the future, including one that Fulvio and I are going to be leading in October of 2018, when we're going to actually be cooking for you, because you heard he's not only a pastry chef, he's also a barista, and he knows his Italian food. But when we talk about the experience for a Roman tour manager, they're very expressive. They have to almost paint a picture for people before they actually see something. And it's also their job to make something that is so old, like the Pantheon, like the Roman Forum, you know, like the Colosseum. These are ruins. These are ancient ruins. And why do people go there? Well, because we create the story for them. That's kind of what our job is as Catholic priests. Hey, but that's your job too as a pilgrim. And I think one of the big struggles that we have in our faith is that we're just boring. We don't know how to explain things in a way that gets people excited. And also we're boring because we're not even willing to get out and explore this world. So stop being so boring, people, and get out there. And the final thing, well, I learned a lot of things from Fulvio. But one of the other things that I learned was he talked about his secular approach to relationships and marriage. And just so that you know, there are some countries that still practice the law of getting civilly married before you get sacramentally married. You know, in America, it's a little different in the Catholic experience. But what Fulvio is experiencing now by living with, you know, his partner, the mother of his child. And by the way, I met her. She's so super lovely. And his kid, little Leo, oh my gosh, he is so stinking adorable. He is so cute. He just smiles all the time. He's like his dad, really. He just likes to smile and make people happy. You know, and so his experience of faith is something very interesting because some people would think, well, why would you have a tour guide that doesn't practice their faith? Well, I'm not sure that he's not practicing his faith. I think that there's obviously potential for how we can practice his faith. And one of the things I've got to learn how to do is be less judgmental. Because I've had super uber Catholic tour managers before. And I got to be honest with you, some of them were just kind of judgmental. I mean, they were kind of ramming faith down people's throats. And the reason why I pick someone like a Fulvio is because he will, first of all, never correct me in what I know, because I know a lot about the Catholic faith and I know a lot about Rome and different countries that I've toured and visited, but he has a great respect for my Catholic priesthood and my knowledge. And he is very honest in being able to kind of help me understand some things better in the way that he is very respectful in asking me how he can understand things better. I think part of the reason why Fulvio might not be fully practicing his faith is because he has not had good escorts in faith along the way. Let's just admit it. There are some priests who don't understand how to reach out to the secular world. So Fulvio and I consider him a parishioner and a typical parishioner when he's with my pilgrims. I treat him like anybody else. I treat him with respect, also knowing that he is also on a journey of faith as well. And the fact that he doesn't try to diss the Catholic faith like I have heard some tour guides do. My gosh, some of the more academic ones are just arrogant in their kind of agnostic approach to Catholicism, almost poo-pooing some of the true Christian identifiable historical realities associated to, like, the Pantheon, like the Colosseum. I mean, I've had tour guides say that Christians were not martyred there. That's just unbelievably anti-historical. That's revisionism at its finest. So Fulvio obviously has learned enough about these sites, these Catholic sites, but he's also still learning more. And my experience with him is doing just that. You know, we all need guides. We all need escorts in life. And we all need people to provide us an experience to make something that seems so old come to life again, which is kind of one of the things that I've learned. And, you know, Fulvio explained it just in the way that they experience culture. They take their time with meals as opposed to just rushing people along the way. I can't tell you how many tours I've seen just people literally feeling like cattle, just carted along here or there, graze here, let's go there. No, we have to build in appropriate schedule and time. We have to be willing to not just see this as a spiritual experience, but as a cultural experience, even as, guess what? A vacation. Because if you're going to be paying money for this experience, you better enjoy yourself, which is what all of my pilgrims say, that they say it's like a spiritual retreat. It's like a class that doesn't bore them, but it's also like a vacation. They also have to have fun. And it does take a team to do that. And, you know, Fulvio even explained not just the eating patterns of people, but how we cater to the American sensibility. He talked about just the leisureness and the reality of making sure that every meal, even if it's a coffee, is just an experience to connect with people. And then he even explained la bella figura, what it means to be beautiful. And yeah, you got to pay attention to kind of like how you look, because that is an extremely important part of being a quote-unquote escort. I mean, you don't pick the ugly ones now, do you? I mean, not that I've ever done anything like that, but let's just admit, you got to be beautiful if you're going to be a good companion. And I'm not talking like only visually beautiful. You got to work on la bella figura, which also applies to manners, to being polite and courteous, not being confrontational, being patient. We have to adorn ourselves the way Fulvio matches his belt with his shoes. I mean, that's just unbelievable. I mean, thank God I wear black is all I can say. But Fulvio really tells me how to be a good priest if I'm willing to also be a good tour guide, be willing to be a good tour manager, and also be willing to be a good escort who knows how to fare la bella figura, to put on a good, beautiful image, so that as you're leading people to an experience of the most beautiful, the faithful, the perfect, and the true God, then guess what? I got to see myself as an escort too, but I also have to see myself as a willing pilgrim. Willing to be led, willing to learn more, willing to be pulled out of my quote-unquote parochialism and remember who I am as a Roman, historically accurate, Catholic, universal, priest, slash shepherd, slash escort. Well, that's it for me and my carry-out order, and I hope, as I've learned something, so have you with my experience with Fulvio, and I can't wait to talk to you next week with more exciting guests, but between now and then, all you gotta do is stay hungry. We hope you enjoyed the show today, and we want to thank our sponsors once again, Select International Tours, for their support, to Fulvio Bracciallo, my special guest, and also to all of you who are listening. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us with these three S's by subscribing to this podcast, by sharing this with your parishioners, with your family and friends, and by supporting us as a $10 a month sponsor. You can get amazing access to some premium content, so please consider supporting us, subscribing to this, and sharing the good news.